At what point in your life did you learn about slam poetry and then decide that this is something you wanted to do?
Really my junior year of high school. I just started writing every day, and I just started looking up poems. And then, actually, was it YouTube? I guess it was YouTube, man. Yeah, it was Deaf Poetry Jam that used to come on HBO. It had the old YouTube clips, and it even just came on HBO still, and I would watch it. Actually, my dad would be like, "Hey, look, it's what you do." And I mean, I would just watch and really just imitate, because I didn't know you could integrate storytelling, performance, and writing all together. And it just was a lot more fun. It was a lot more fun.
How long did you work on your craft before you got in front of people in a live setting and started doing it?
Yeah, I kind of got thrusted in. I was my NAACP youth director, Rose Lowry. We were on a trip in Indianapolis, and she saw me writing by the side of the pool, and she was like, "Yeah, what are you writing?" I shared it with her. She was like, "Oh yeah, you need to share this with AXO." And AXO is Afro Cultural Technological Science Olympics, and it is like a youth competition for the NAACP. That bunch of different categories, but I participated in oratory, poetry, and dramatics, which together really a spoken word, just separate categories kind of. That was like the first time I performed in front. It was like progressively just more and more people, and that was nerve-wracking. I felt like I was gonna die each time. But anyway, I only worked on for like a year and a half. I was writing like every day, and then got thrusted into that.
Let's talk about COVID a little bit. For you, it seems like live performance and interaction with your crowd is such an incredibly important part of your craft. How did you approach the lockdown, as a creative individual?
Oh man, it was like you said. At first, it was like an oh no type of vibe, but like technology like Zoom help, but definitely the interaction piece is a big part of it. And because even when I perform, it's like you feed off the energy of other people. But the way I approached it is, just embrace the technologies, and also the, like you said, the solitude part of it. Because I mean, there is a yin and yang, I guess you would say. You have to a chance to create, and also a chance to share. So embrace that side more.
Have you done many virtual events like you'll be doing Wednesday evening at 7 for the McCracken County Public Library's MCLIB Live program?
Yes, and that's another thing. I was able to do a lot of virtual events and get used to doing it, and exploring that dynamic, because it's if you do it right, you can still have the participation and feed off the energy of others. And I did quite a few events with a program called a company really called Legacy, and it was to bring arts to the Southern Illinois community. And during those performances, I was feeling it out, and one of the things I did was definitely like ask questions and also leave time in between four questions for people just to express themselves, let them know. Oh, well, actually listen to, how's it, just really simple, how's it going? What are you liking? Like, what direction should we go next? Just giving people more interactive, so it's not like they're just watching a video, but like we're interacting back and forth as well,
Well, you've written a book. What was the inspiration for This Is Why Kids Want to Stay Up Late?
That one's the inspiration behind that one was to implore everybody to explore their creative side, in any type of in any facet and to any level, but just to do it at all. And my say argument, I guess thesis. Yeah, the thesis is that when we all do that, it connects us all, and also it opens us up to listen to one another, because art in any form is the most direct form of communication. And I think if people do that more, we can see each other in a more authentic and unapologetic way, and non-judgmental.
2020 was quite a year. I think if you're under 100 years of age, it might have been the most tumultuous year that any of us have experienced. How has that informed your art? Have you written a lot about the many different facets of 2020 and everything that entails?
Oh, yes. Oh, man, it's more so. I'm glad you brought up this Why Kids Won't Stay Up Late, because one of the things that comes up from that, the thesis of that book is to connect one another and listen to one another via the arts, you know, because that's a very direct form of communication. And, you know, that's not, it's not happening a lot today. But I think if that's one of the things about doing that, when I was working, doing the grant for the community in Southern Illinois, was to bring the arts to that community to, you know, that was one of the things I wanted to put in the grant, was to inspire and implore people to connect with one another. And I think the arts is a good way to do that.
Would you like to do just a tiny little piece that you'll be performing at the MCLIB, a snippet from your book, or just a short poem or something?
Yeah, I definitely would mind. Always. Forever youthful dandelion, rising to set your waltz on our oceans. Can we have this dance? God bless your holy rays, they arrange like violin strings. So go ahead and plant your song on a full moon like a last kiss. So when night arrives, like a promise we'll never intended to keep, we'll know that you're waiting. And an altar in the sky for our gaze to kiss you soft and hold you close like lovers holding hands. You're a golden wedding band, the promise that always returns, dragging morning behind you like train carts. Those train tracks lead toward tomorrow, and I hope we'll follow. I'm praying that we'll follow, because a lot of us, like my grandmother said, a lot of us are in a hurry, headed in the wrong direction. So gently guide us back. Yeah, teach us how to shine again. This world needs light to make these roaches scatter.
That's great. Did Amanda Gorman's remarkable performance at the inauguration shine a light anew on poetry, and not just poetry, but spoken poetry, and the power the human voice has behind those words?
Oh, yes, I think so. And also, and more so, I think her, one thing I really, really, really like about not only the poem she did, but just her overall vibe, is the connectedness and trying to uplift in a genuine way with no ulterior motive or trying to sell something, but just really authentically trying to encourage and uplift in a way. Because I really embrace the, you know, approach, how you want to be approached. And sometimes it's like, are you trying to win an argument? Are you trying to get a one-up? Are you trying to make somebody look stupid? Are you trying to show how smart you are? I mean, you really got to check all those things. And sometimes I say yes to all those things. And, like, you know, you got to check your heart and really, like, why am I doing this? And when it's really authentically done for that, you could tell, you can see it just resonates in a way that you can't even, like, verbalize or intellectualize sometimes, but you just know. That's the person is approaching it at from that angle genuinely. So that's the thing I appreciate most.